Lord chapter maybe two or three different times in our lesson here today as we go all throughout the Bible to talk about our lesson, but Matthew 25 might be a good little place for you to mark your Bibles like I have mine here today. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all those who are out with us here today. Got a good number out with us here during this holiday season. We do have visitors among us. We want you to feel welcome, want you to feel like an honored guest here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We've got a good number online as well. I saw 8 different feeds, I think, before I came up here. And so I wish to acknowledge you at home as well. I appreciate so much the fact that you're interested in the things that we're attempting to do here this morning. I know most of them are members who are either sick or unable to be out with us during these troubling times. And so we miss you, and we're glad, so very glad that you're able to be with us through this modern means of technology and communication. We remind ourselves that we're to the part of our worship where we want to continue to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. And I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here to my left, and I'm going to give you a book, chapter, and verse from the Bible for everything I got to say. So you might know that this was not the opinions of men or the philosophy of some man or a church convention or constitution or a man-made catechism. But as it is in truth, the revealed will and understanding of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, that we have the mind of Christ. This church here this year has worked underneath the theme that the elders have given it as a church with 20/20 vision. And that gives us the idea that we wish to be able to see things accurately. We wish to see things more clearly together. And each month we talked about different Bible subjects that we want to be able to see more clearly. And this month, the month of December, we have been talking about judgment and judgment to come. And so it is this morning. We're going to spend just a couple minutes here today taking a look at the Bible, the Word of God, to see what God has revealed to you and I in regards to what I call the final hour. I want you to appreciate here today that there are a number of final scenes that the Bible gives us a view into. There is that final scene of Jesus looking over His favorite city in Matthew 23 and 37. And Jesus saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Final scene. There is the final scene of the Apostle Paul bidding farewell to the elders of one of his most beloved churches in Acts 20 and verse 36. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sorely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorry most of all for the words which he'd spoken, that they would never see his face again. Final hours. Final scenes. Webster defines the word final as not alterable nor undone. That makes sense. I used to get chills during finals week. I mean, it was just so final. That was it. There was no second chances. And so that's what I'm talking about here this morning, is the idea of final. And I'm interested in the final hour. And of course, the final hour is synonymous with judgment. Daniel Webster, the Eastern statesman, once said, "The important realization in my life is that I will give an accounting to God." Isn't that interesting? And what I want you to appreciate here this morning is that is the most important realization that all of us will have in our life. You know, we live in a generation that doesn't contemplate the judgment, and if they did, we wouldn't see and be so hurried and worried about the things at work or the things at home or the sorority functions, the kids' ball games, school activities, or just living life, because we know that the ultimate realization is that there is a final hour coming, and it is coming quickly. And I am one day closer to that final hour than I was yesterday. What I'd like to do here for just a few short moments is take a look how the Bible, the Word of God, has revealed to us this morning this final hour. I want you to appreciate, and I made this comment a few different times this month, but I wish to make it again, is this certainty of the final hour. This is not the figment of some religious zealot's imagination. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil." God is going to work in judgment. And every secret thing that you've hidden from everybody, whether it's good or whether it's evil, God is going to judge us on. In Psalms 96 and verse 13, "And he shall judge the world with righteousness and his people with truth." The Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews 9, 27, "It's appointed a man once to die, and after that the judgment." It is an absolute certainty that the day of judgment is coming for us all. There is a famous sundial over in France, the Cluny France sundial. In Latin it says, "Of all the hours that pass this dial, fear only one, the last." The final hour is something to contemplate. It is something to fear if we're not prepared. And I want you to appreciate the Bible says it is certain. But also I want you to see the standard. I mean, how would you like to take a test but decide the rest of your academic career and not have any idea of the material that it would cover? What I want you to appreciate here this morning is God has told us exactly the standard in this final hour. I mean, who will be the judge, for instance? In John 5:22, Jesus himself would say, "The Father judges all men, but given all judgment to the Son." In Romans 14 and verse 10, "And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Jesus, an infallible judge. I have friends that are lawyers, and they'll say, "You know what? One of the most important things when it comes to the case is the judge." I mean, you want a judge that will understand the material presented so that they can rule in wisdom. And so it is with Jesus. Jesus is God, but he has been in a flesh and blood body just like you and I. And he was tempted in all points like you and I are. Yet without sin, Jesus, the all-knowing God, will one day judge us. And that judge standard that Jesus will utilize is his word. A passage I've quoted to you a myriad times in the last 6.5 years. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has that which judges him. For the word that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." The psalmist I quoted a few moments ago in Psalms 96 and verse 13. "He will judge the world in righteousness and his people with the truth." I've talked many times that all we're interested in here is the truth. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. John 8 and verse 32. The truth he's talking about are the words of God. "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, 17. The word of God, the Bible, one day will be our judge. It will not be sincerity alone. I mean, we must all be sincere in our worship and our service to God and to one another, but it will not be sincerity alone. It will not be, "Well, I never offended my conscience. I kind of let conscience be my guide." In Acts 23 and verse 1, Paul said, looking at the council, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." But I read in chapter 9 and verse 1 that Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. But his conscience was not bothered when he did that. He thought he was doing the right thing. But he was wrong. Sincerity and your conscience will not be the judgment. It will not be your feelings. Matthew 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. For strait is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." But there's a lot of people that say, "Man, I feel good. I feel good about my relationship with God. I feel like everything is all right." Listen, feelings change. In my career as a gospel preacher, I've been in many situations to the deathbed or talking to them right before they die. I can remember going and visiting someone in between services on a Sunday, and I went and visited. We had a good conversation. As I was leaving, he said, "Brian," I said, "appreciate you coming over. I just feel so good." And he died that day. What's your feelings got to do with it? Your feelings will not be the standard. It will not be your family religion. In John chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan. And she said, "Listen, our fathers worship God here in this mount, that is Mount Gerizim, but you guys say it's got to be in Jerusalem." Jesus didn't say, "Well, that's kind of your family religion, that's okay." He said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You people don't even know what you're doing. That will not be your standard. Well, good enough for my grandpappy, good enough for me. That will not be the standard. It will not be the words of some man, John Calvin, Joseph Smith, John Wesley, the Pope, Alexander Graham Bell, Max Licato. I mean, when we create book, it'll be the words of God. In Acts 17 and verse 31, he will judge the world in righteousness by that man he is foreordained and given all men assurance that he raised him from the dead. Righteousness, allowing the Bible to be his own commentary in the book of Psalms 119. In verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. I will be judged one day by the commandments of God. That would be the standard of that final hour. And that hour is going to be an hour of pronouncement. You know, our modern day of jurisprudence, many get confused about the day of judgment. I mean, we kind of think of judgment, we think of a trial with witnesses and testimony is being presented to ascertain guilt or innocence. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the day of judgment. That's not what the Bible reveals. The Bible says that final day is a day of pronouncement. In Matthew 25, that I ask you to have your hand in verse 34 beginning, and shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you unto the foundation of the world. But then again, notice verse 41. Then he shall say to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The final hour is a day of pronouncement. Those that are already dead, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Bible teaches already know their state. In the book of Matthew in chapter 16, verses 19-31, we have the story of a rich man and Lazarus, and they both die. But their eyes awaken, and they're in two totally different places. One is in comfort. One is in flame. In the book of Luke, chapter 23, and verse 43, as Jesus hung on the cross, and the thief of the cross said, remember me when you come in thy kingdom. Jesus said, truly I say unto you, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Not someday, but this day you will be with me in paradise. You will not be dead 5 seconds till you'll know what side of the gulf you're on. The day of judgment is a day of pronouncement. When the punishment or the reward is meted out. You've heard the old cliche, you're known by the company you keep. You'll know on the final hour. But it is also a day of explanation. You might not think that. You know, I used to say, I was driven insane by my children. Children ask why. Seems almost innate. You ever been around a four-year-old? Why? Why this? Why that? I had a friend say, well, I always tell my kids God made it that way, and that stopped it. But I never was good enough for me. I kept on trying to give a reason why. It drove me crazy. In the book of Matthew, again, in chapter 25, in verse 37, beginning, then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you stranger or naked and clothed thee? Or when did we see you sick or in prison? And the king shall answer them. You see, a day of explanation. Look at verse 44. Then shall they also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirst or naked or sick and didn't come unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, why lost? Why saved? One day, Ronnie Call, you're going to ask God, and he's going to explain it. It is a day of explanation. But also I read in the Bible, the Word of God, that it is an hour of surprise. Certainly you know someone who thinks this is all just bunk. It's just a big myth. Where every one of us will stand to give account of ourselves before God? Are you kidding me? And when they do that, they will be surprised. Some will be surprised that Jesus is the judge. Given no judgment to the Father, Jesus said. The Father doesn't take the judgment. He's given all that judgment to me. There'll be some people that'll be surprised that it's the Bible that was the standard. Wasn't their creed book, the catechism, or what their preacher said, or what my family religion was, or what my feelings were, or how sincere I was about what it is that I did. People are going to be surprised that the Bible is the standard. Some are going to be surprised by the totality of it. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Jesus would say in Matthew 12:36, that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. There are going to be some people surprised of the totality of it. Some people will be surprised they won't hear of sins that were washed away or repented of. God said in this great second covenant, Jeremiah 31:31-34, I will forgive them their iniquities and their sins will I remember no more. Some will be surprised who is lost. You know, most people think that the majority of people are going to be saved. But the passage I quoted a few moments ago in Matthew 7:14, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few bear they be that find it. And there's going to be people that are surprised by that. I thought everybody was going to heaven. Well, I thought the biggest churches were going to go to heaven. There'll be some people going to be surprised that there are religious people that are not going to be saved. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said that many will come to me on that day and say, hey, wait a second. Have we not in thy name cast out devils? Have we not in thy name prophesied? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You who work iniquity. And they're going to be surprised. And a lot of us may be surprised. Members of the Church of Christ. At least they attend a building that says Church of Christ on the side of the building. They're going to be surprised. The final hour will be a day of surprise. And finally, all shall attend. You know, the psalmist says in Psalms 29 and verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Give unto the Lord the beauty in his holiness. You know, the day of judgment won't be like worship, where if one in the family has a cold, then we all stay home. Or where work takes us away, or where vacation keeps us from worship, or a ball game, or practice, or homework, or school play, or company comes in and so we don't go worship. It won't be that way. Every one of us will stand before the judge. All will attend. In the book of Matthew, in 11, verse 20, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethesda, for if the mighty works were done in you that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. The people of Chorazin, the people of Bethesda, the people of Tyre and Sidon, they're going to be there. And thou, Capernaum, which exalted yourself into heaven, shall be brought into hell. For if the mighty works would have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. The people of Capernaum will be there. And so will the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. They'll be there. In Matthew 12 and verse 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, Jesus said, but no sign but the prophet Jonah will be given it. In verse 41, he says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And the queen of Sheba shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." The people of Nineveh will be there. Queen of Sheba will be there. Isn't that interesting? All will be there on the day of judgment. Felix and Drusilla will be there. One of my favorite sermons. Felix trembled, Acts chapter 24, 24 and 25. When he heard of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and said, "Go your way for a while. When I have a convenient time, I'll call you back." He's now dead, and he awaits judgment, and Felix will be there. And so will his wife, Drusilla. In Revelation 20, verse 12, John the Revelator said, "I saw the small and the great stand before the throne of God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and those that were dead were judged according to the things written in the books, according to their works. Both small and great shall be there." All shall be there. And that includes you. All those in the first century when Jesus was there are going to rise up in judgment with those of Capernaum, Bethesda, and Nineveh, and Jonah the prophet, and the Queen of Sheba. They'll all be there. Solomon, David, Abraham, they'll all be there. All are going to attend this final hour. And there'll be two pronouncements. Saved or lost, commended or condemned, heaven or hell, well done, depart from me. Which side are you on? You need to check your ticket. I think I told you this story before. I'd recently graduated college and I was flying back and forth from Indianapolis to Atlanta. And I went and visited my mom and dad. I went to church meeting. Dad was going to drive me to Indianapolis. Catch a plane to fly me down to Atlanta. As we pulled out of the driveway, we started heading out of the house. I said to him, "Oh, it's now daylight savings time. I wonder if that'll affect my flight." What do you think it did? I can still remember him reaching up and grab the ticket, and then he didn't. And I was so relieved, because I didn't want to know what that ticket said. And sure enough, I got there and I'd missed my plane. Check your ticket. Everybody here, and everyone watching me live, and everyone that listens to this later, you know what side of the aisle you're on. Check your ticket. The day is coming. It'll be here sooner than you believe. And it'll be a day of surprise. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this morning. Maybe there's one of our audience who's never been obedient to those words that will judge us one day. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Do you really want to stand before Jesus and that commandment read and you realize, "I never did that"? Maybe it is you've done that, but you've not lived the life that you need to. "Be thou faithful even unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Have you done that? Maybe there's something we can help you do. Get back on that straight old path, at least from this low ground into heaven above. We wish to help you do that so you can check your ticket. Know where you'll be on the day of judgment. We extend the Lord's invitation to you. Sing the song and encourage you. It's up to you in any way. Come forward now. We'll stand and sing.
Someday.